Hello, hello, hello. What is up, you guys? This is the Hybrid Podcast. My name is Noah Cole, here with Nathan War. Buddy, how you doing?
Pretty good. It's been a little while, but we're back.
I literally forgot how to do an intro. We were just talking about it. I just don't know what to say. It's been way too long. We haven't put out material in way too long. But we got a good show today. We got plenty to talk about. Brooks Koepka right off the bat. Pretty interesting stuff. He's just dominating the game. Rory McIlroy, on the other hand, is a choke artist. We're gonna go through all of it. Some MLB, some NFL. It should be a pretty good show. Really quickly, if you like our podcast, if you want to support us, there is a link below on whatever listening platform you are using. If you don't already follow us on social media, please do so at Hybrid Podcast. That's all one word, at Hybrid Podcast. Packed show. We're gonna get right to it. Stick around. So Brooks Koepka winning the WGC title at the FedEx St. Jude. I honestly don't know what you call it. Pretty big tournament. WGC, I mean, it's bigger than like your average, you know, your John Deere Classics, your Rocket Mortgage Classics. I mean, it is. But Brooks Koepka, I don't think he realized that this wasn't a major. I just don't think he realized it. And that's why he dominated on Sunday and made Rory McIlroy literally shake. Like, dude couldn't putt, but no, he played well. It was interesting. I feel like he's one of those guys who is in touch with the media. He's in touch with like what people are saying. He's not necessarily like, he doesn't really care about it because he makes millions of bucks. Like, it doesn't really get to him, I don't think. But he does see, you know, oh, he only shows up, you know, when it actually matters. He only shows up in majors. And I think this tournament proved to a lot of people he can literally just win. Like, he can go out there and he can just win any tournament he wants. He just has to turn it on. And if he does do that and he does turn it on, he can beat anybody.
That's what's so frustrating is that it feels like at the snap of his fingers, he can just go out there and dust the whole field. And it almost just seems like he does take some weeks off. That's kind of up for debate right now with the whole golf world.
Just kind of like us.
Yeah, it is. It's just, does he actually try and just not win the regular tour events, or is he just not putting in any effort? And I tend to believe it is a little bit of both. But I don't really consider the WGCs to be like regular tour events either. So in my mind, he didn't really win a regular tour
event. Yeah, no, I agree.
They're totally different. There's only four of them a year. They're held in a higher regard than the regular tour events. I mean, there's a smaller field and there's no cut line, but there's every player in that field is just totally elite. So it almost does have more of a major feel to it. But you know, the bottom line is he got it done once again. I mean, bogey-free round to finish out the tournament.
I mean, just dominant. Yeah. Like, he hits the ball so far. He's just, when he's on and no one's close. Like, when Rory's on, he's insane. Like, when he played in Canada at that tournament and just absolutely dusted the field. When Koepka's on, you can't come close. Like, he is just the most steady, dominant, hits the ball a mile, just great golfer. And I mean, this is a guy who literally showed up to this thing like, what, 45, 30 minutes mm-hmm. before his...
Less than an hour
before his tee time. Rory was there like 2 hours before, prepping, getting ready. Koepka just strolls in, you know, whatever. Just wins a massive golf tournament. Unreal.
That's got to be so frustrating for Rory, too.
I mean, that would drive me nuts.
Oh, it would kill me if I spent, you know, if I was just killing myself over, you know, just hitting the putting green for an hour straight and mm-hmm. just making sure every little wedge is the exact distance you want to hit it, and then going out there and getting killed by a guy who shows up 45 minutes before his tee time. That's got to be just devastating. But, you know, you talked about how if Rory's on, he's almost unstoppable,
yeah.
Which is true. But the difference in Brooks is too, but the difference between the two is Brooks can do it under pressure, whereas Rory yeah. just simply can't. I mean, when he goes off like he did it earlier, it was only just like a month ago at the Canadian Open.
Yep.
He went off and shot. He was on 59 watts
yeah,
one of the rounds.
For a period of time, it felt like
the difference is he just, nobody was even close to him.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's neck and neck with somebody, he doesn't play that well, I guarantee, because just like in this final round, he had the lead going into Sunday and blew it once again.
I just think it gets to him so much. Like, I think the night before, he's laying there in bed and he's like, I got to go up against Brooks Koepka head to head. Everyone's counting on me to beat this guy. Like, this is my opportunity to prove myself. You know, this is the disrespect I'm getting. This is the reason why. And then every single time, time after time, no matter who, it doesn't have to be Koepka. It can be anybody. And he just doesn't show up. Like, that Sunday just kills him every single time. Mm-hmm. He wins golf tournaments when it's stress-free. Everyone else is playing poorly. There's nothing that could go wrong. He could double bogey the last hole and still win by four. Just no pressure. That's where Rory thrives. Whereas Koepka, if he's, I mean, he's probably laying in bed like, this is what I want. Like, mm-hmm. this is exciting.
Right where I want it.
I'm paired with a guy who can, you know, play the ball. You know, he plays a little bit faster than some of these other guys. I can play my game down a stroke. This is easy. Like, I know I can intimidate this guy. I think that's what Tiger used to do all the time. Like, he just got in those other guys' heads. And this is, I mean, it's what Koepka's doing. It's, you know, the giant biceps. It's the hitting the ball a mile. That's just what he does, and it works.
Mm-hmm. It's almost a shame, too, because it's really the one thing you can't train for is pressure.
Exactly, yeah.
It's almost just a gene that you're born with. And it is. It really is kind of disappointing because you feel for Rory because it's not like there's training exercises you can really do. I mean, you can do a little like putting aid and pretend like, you know, there's something on the line. But at the end of the day, you really just, you either have it or you don't. And Brooks clearly has it.
Oh, absolutely.
And Rory's the exact opposite. I mean, you look at, you know, the Masters, I think it was back in 2012, around there, he totally just blew up and blew a huge 4 or 5 stroke lead heading into Sunday. That's why he doesn't have a green jacket yet on his resume. Masters in 2017, blew it to Patrick Reed once again. They were supposed to have this big showdown, and
just
Patrick
never came.
Patrick Reed just ran away with it. And then we go to the Tour Championship last year, paired in the final group with Tiger, totally just melted down there too. Not even close. Tiger, of course, ran away with that. And then we even go to the WGC match play this year versus Tiger once again, folded. I mean, he had like wedges into par 5 and couldn't execute, and he would bogey him. I mean, that's purely just
bad
nerd.
Golf. It has to be. I mean, he's way too talented for it to be anything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just way too talented. Like, this is a guy who just, he hits the ball so far. He's so crisp. He's so accurate. He has been his entire, he has a video game. You know, like, this is a guy who is, as a young player, was the next Tiger Woods.
He was supposed to be the next,
like,
Tiger
Woods. Literally was. And the problem is, his downside is, I mean, I was literally watching on, you know, Sunday, and it felt like he just wasn't going to make any putts. Like, he just, and that's such an important part of his game, and that's what he gets criticized the most for, is not being able to putt. And that's one of those things where nerves and confidence in putting are huge. Mm-hmm. Like, you know it, we both play golf. Like, if you feel like if you're out there and you're like, I'm going to make this putt. The other day, we were playing golf. I made 2 40-foot putts. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're like, step up there and you're like, yeah, I can actually make this. I legitimately feel like Rory steps up there and he's like, there's no chance. Like, this putt's, I'm not putting the ball well today. It's just not going in the hole. And then it never will. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't prep for it. He doesn't think about it enough. And then he does something. He contradicts himself. He, you know, overcorrects, and it's just disaster. I mean, we see it all the time.
I totally agree on the putting, but for sure. I mean, but to a certain degree, because I think it is just nerves. Because if you go on YouTube and look at his Saturday highlights, he's pouring them in from everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he shot. I think it was a 62 or 64. I think 62, actually. But, I mean, you don't shoot a 62 with bad putting. You just can't, even with his good iron play and ball striking and everything like that. But, I mean, he clearly is a guy who has to win tournaments in the first 3 days of the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
He has to just set himself up so he has a 5-6-stroke lead heading into Sunday in order to have any chance. Because if anybody is within even 2 or 3 strokes of him, he's done. There's no chance whatsoever.
No, I absolutely agree. I think putting is just one of those things where if your nerves get to you when you're putting, and they clearly get to Rory, it's just what happens. He goes from this elite player, the guy in Canada that we saw who just tore the field up, to just this nobody. Mm-hmm. Like, he was over par on the final day, and everyone was like, what? Like, what were there, like, 2 people over par, and he was one of them?
Yep, exactly.
And he was like, are you kidding me? Like, you have to be better than that. You're a professional golfer here. This is the stage you've grown up. And it's not like he's a new player. Like, if he was, you know, young into the game, just starting out, all right, I'll give you an excuse. If you're Matthew Wolf, that's fine. But this is a guy who has been playing for so long, and it's just, I mean, it's kind of pathetic. Like, it really is.
It's why I don't have really a whole lot of faith in him just going forward, because you see guys like Matthew Wolf. He just got his first PGA Tour victory. Nerves of steel. Eagled a 72nd hole to beat Bryson DeChambeau. Colin Morikawa, who just won the Barracuda Championship. Yep. He got his first win and the first in his sixth attempt on the PGA Tour. Nerves of steel. To
yeah,
win
absolutely.
That one too. All these guys, they aren't afraid at all. And it seems like Rory's been taking steps backwards. I mean, and one thing we're not even really touching on is his showing at Royal Portrush in the Open. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think we've had a podcast since the Open. That was right before our last one. And he just couldn't even make the cut.
It's a home game. It's literally, you're the host. Like, this is your tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, just make the cut. Come on, play okay.
Yeah, and he showed Friday, too, that he obviously has the ability to go super low. I mean, he shot a 61 there when he was 16 years old. The guy can clearly play. It's just pressure just gets to him unlike anybody I've ever seen in the game of golf.
No, that's a real thing. Like Shane Lowry wins the Open, right? He's from Ireland. You know, he's not from Northern Ireland, but like Rory is, where it's like actually like mm-hmm. this is like your
backyard.
Yeah, this is literally where you grew up. This is, I mean, Shane Lowry's still though really close, and Shane Lowry took the situation as like, all right, like these people are behind me, and they were. The fans were like, yeah, like we love Shane Lowry, like we're rooting for you. And I think at the start of the week, Rory, it was the same thing with Rory. Like these people were like, we're rooting for you. Mm-hmm. Like this is
more
your tournament.
More than Shane
this
Lowry.
Is, absolutely.
Guarantee.
Like this is your tournament to win. Go out there, go get it. And Rory took that as, oh geez, I have to win this thing. Like I have
for
to.
For the first time ever, he felt pressure in the first and second
And that's
round.
Exactly why he didn't make the cut. Because, you know, everyone around him, the entire country is just rooting for this guy so much. And no way he shows up when everybody's rooting for him like that. There's just no way with the way this guy plays.
Yeah, it's I can't really put my finger on it. It's just, like I said earlier, it's just the way you're born with it or you're not born with it.
No,
the
absolutely.
Ability to, you know, bear down and hit putts and make shots under pressure, and Rory just simply wasn't able to do it.
No, you're absolutely
right.
And
he hasn't for probably the last decade of his career. I mean, well, not decade, but he does have major victories, but even those were blowouts of the field. He didn't really have to make any clutch, you know, shots or anything like that. And speaking of the Open, our boy Tiger didn't really too well. Hate to bring that up, but
I'm
sure Rory will appreciate us getting it off of him and
talking about
Tiger a little bit.
All right, so major schedule's over. You know, Tiger just committed to the first two FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, this year as a whole, when you look at Tiger Woods, good year. You know, it was a good year. He won a green jacket. He won at Augusta. But if you take that out of there, if you take the Masters out of this season,
horrific.
If you just throw that little, you know, that blip in the system right there, if you just take it out, just don't think about that. This was a terrible year for Tiger Woods. He played very poorly. Like, every single tournament, with the exception of the Masters, it felt like he had no chance and just looked, I mean, he looked hurt. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about that. But he looked like he was literally in pain, and it was not good.
No, I was thinking about it the other day. Obviously, the Masters win was just so cool. Like,
yeah, it was
you
sweet.
And I watched it together. It was just an emotional time, and it was just the whole country felt like the whole country was watching and tuning in.
And we have four TVs going.
Yeah, exactly. And he gets his 15th, and he inches closer to Jack's record and everything. But other than that, honestly, I would, in a heartbeat, take his last year over this year.
No,
simply because it was...
Because at this time last year, he was playing really well. Mm-hmm. He was starting to hit that groove. And now it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, and he was in contention at the Open, the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
And at least made the cut at the Masters. I'm like, he missed the cut twice this year at the Open and the U.S. Open.
Do we make predictions in our special edition episode about where... Or how many majors we thought he would win this season?
I think we did.
I don't remember what I said.
I think we both agreed that it was...
Two?
Like two, including the Masters.
Including the Masters,
so
two.
Maybe,
he'd get one more. And
he
like,
didn't even come close.
I mean, it wasn't. Like, it was not close. And I don't know if I said two or if I said he would win, like, another tournament. But he's got these two events coming up. I don't think he stands a chance. He doesn't look like he stands a chance.
No.
And I've heard the talk like, oh, the Masters win took a lot out of him. You know, he's not playing
That's
very
not
well.
An excuse.
That's not an excuse. No. You just won you take a couple weeks off, you won the Masters, congratulations, like, sweet. But then you're still a professional golfer. Like, get out there and keep dominating and keep doing what you were doing. Build off of that. Tiger Woods, you'd think, would build off of that. Like, unless he has in the past done these, like, swing transformations after winning big tournaments.
I don't think he would.
I don't think this is the time of his career where you would do that. Mm-hmm. No, he's smarter than that. Like, come on. So, I don't know. I don't think that's an excuse. It was pretty disappointing outside of Tiger Woods winning at Augusta. Mm-hmm. Outside Which, of I mean, that.
I'll take that.
I mean, yeah, we, I'm not allowed to complain. But, like, yeah. we can't, but...
At the same time, we have to kind of be realistic.
Yeah, you got to come back to earth a little bit.
Evaluate the entire season, because you don't just get an excuse to perform poorly the rest of the season just because you put on a masterful performance at the Masters.
I'm going
to
be real. I honestly think about Tiger Woods winning the Masters probably every day. I think about it every day, and I think... Every single time for the past, like, 2 months, I'm like, how? Like, he's just not playing good golf, right now. Like, there's, like, you can see trends in sports, and I've done this my entire life, where you're, like, you go into a game, and you're like, I know this team's going to win. Like, I know just the way they're playing, the momentum they have. March Madness is a big thing in March Madness. Like, the way they're playing right now is just different. Tiger Woods should not have won the Masters. No. He was not playing well before, and he hasn't played well after. I just don't understand how he was able to turn it on right there, and that's all we got for the entire year.
That's just the Tiger magic, though, and that's why Rory will never be Tiger.
Yeah.
Because he isn't able to just, you know, bring it all together for that one big moment.
Part of that makes it cooler, though. Like, like it makes it even
so
more...
So improbable.
Yeah, it's like, how did this guy win? Like, how? Like, I want to do another podcast, just like, I just don't understand it. Like, I don't know. How did Tiger Woods win the Masters? Like
Brooks winning just almost reminds us of Tiger.
Yeah, Brooks just keeps dominating all these tournaments and playing out of his mind. And, you know, Brooks almost won the Masters, and Tiger beat him?
Yeah.
Like, how? Yeah. He's playing so poorly this entire year. And he was able to outdo a Brooks Koepka who was in a great position to win the tournament, was in great position all throughout the day, and just couldn't do it. I just don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, hard to put your finger on it.
It blows me away. I mean, and I don't know. What do you expect from Tiger Woods over these next two tournaments, over the next, you know, two, you know, FedEx Cup?
To me, it's almost like he doesn't value these FedEx Cup playoffs as much as a lot of other players or even, you know, maybe or maybe even Tiger Woods in 2008. I just think he's not really... invested as much. I mean, I don't think he cares. He's clear, no, I mean, he's clearly just out for majors at this point, and has that. He has an excuse to do that for sure. Koepka, not so much.
Okay,
I feel like Koepka should be focusing more on regular events. Tiger, I will give him that. And that's why he's not playing.
I look at Tiger, and I'm like, he's. You know, we've seen all this stuff. Like, he's only going to play in majors, and like, I get it because it makes sense. Like, you know, you're older. You're getting up there in age. You should play in the big tournaments, and you know, these little ones, John Deere Classic. Who cares about it? Like, come on, like, you should be playing in these big tournaments. But then he doesn't show up in these big tournaments. So, like, he's getting all this time off, and he's not playing in
to
these
prepare.
To prepare and to be good, and you know, to be where he needs to be for these tournaments. And time again. I mean, the Open was disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, he played so poorly.
To me, it almost points to an injury because
there's
no other reason that he just would skip out on all these events. I mean, he played basically strictly the majors, and now he's going to play a couple of playoff events, but that's about it. And it was cold in the Open, so I guess there's kind of that. He's getting older, more stiff or whatever. But
it's still the Open. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's still like a massive tournament, and it's huge, and... You know, the field didn't play super well. I mean, Shane Lowry played great, obviously, but, you know, Tiger Woods, the Tiger that showed up to the Masters, could have won that tournament. Like, it's just what it was. And he just didn't play well at all. It was disgusting. It was like, you took all this time off, you prepped so much for this event, and nothing.
I'm pretty disappointed in him, honestly.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be a playing captain this year for the President's Cup. I almost don't want him on the
I don't think Cup. I don't think he's there. I don't, you know... No, I absolutely agree. I don't know what it is because he takes the time off. It's, you know, normally I'd be like, all right, well, he'll just take a couple weeks off and then he'll be ready for the next tournament. But he's taking this time off and it almost feels like he was ready. He was getting in that grind. It's like when you play the front nine poorly and then by the back nine you're warmed up and you're good. And then you take a break and then it's the same thing all over again. And he keeps taking these breaks because his body needs it, but he also comes back and he's just as stiff and not hitting the ball as well as he was right before. Yeah, absolutely. Pretty frustrating.
Yeah, for sure, especially for Tiger fans like ourselves.
Yeah, you know. All right, we got so much more to talk about. Stick around. So LeBron James is one of those guys who gets a lot of flack all the time, no matter what he does. You know, he calls up Anthony Davis, people freak out. You know, he goes to Miami, people freak out. He goes back to Cleveland, people freak out. He leaves, they burn his jerseys. It's terrible. He's one of those superstar players, top tier, potentially the all-time greatest player in the sport of basketball. And no matter what he does, he gets a lot of flack for it. Recently, the media is kind of all over the place. Some people think he's fine. He's doing whatever. He can do whatever he wants. He's LeBron James. Other people think it's ridiculous. It's tough. LeBron James right now obviously Bronny Jr. is growing up. He's becoming a freak of nature basketball player just like his father. He's an insanely talented young kid. I don't know how old he is, but he's pretty young, and he's already throwing down dunks. Mm-hmm.
He's like 16, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and I cannot do that. I've never been able to do that, so credit to him. However, at these AAU games, LeBron James, not the coach, just a parent watching the games, has been extra, I would say. He's kind of all over the place. He's throwing dunks and layup lines. He's, you know, giving his son chest bumps like in the middle of the game on the court. He's all over. He's flexing. You know, he's getting hype. He's screaming. He's yelling. And it's tough because on one side, yeah, like he's a supportive father. He's, you know, he wants his kid to succeed. His kid obviously is succeeding. He loves his kid. You know, he wants the best for his kid. And he's going to go out there and he's going to show emotion. And that's, you know, he's a professional athlete. That's what he does. He shows emotion. And on the other hand, it's kind of insane. It's kind of cringy. I'll give him that. It's kind of cringy. But it's tough. I don't know. What do you think?
So first, let me just start off by saying, I'm usually the first one to defend LeBron James.
That's very true. Absolutely.
Everything you stated was 100% true. I mean, the man can't even breathe without people just crawling up. Yeah. Like, just breathing.
He's one of the most hated athletes in sports, and he really has. For nothing. He's done some great things in his life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, he's done a bunch of charity work.
A year ago, he opened that school that's like fantastic in Akron. That's like, no, it's awesome.
In
like
his free time,
you see all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great person as well as a great player and everything like that. But let's just ask ourselves. If this wasn't LeBron James and this was just a random, regular parent who didn't play in the NBA, had no NBA connection whatsoever, that was doing these kinds of things, what would we be saying? The other
I don't think we'd be talking about it.
Well, first of all, yeah, but the people at that game would be like, what is this guy doing? It'd be the weirdest thing.
It would be insane how weird it would be.
Yeah, like, and the thing is, LeBron, it is kind of a shame.
You'd call the cops.
LeBron.
You literally would.
Yeah, but and it's kind of a shame on LeBron because he knows he just has the kind of status that
he has
nobody
that power.
Can say anything to him, and he knows that. Like, the coaches can't say anything. Not even the referees can really say anything to him because he's LeBron James. He's a top three player of all time. What are you going to tell him? Like, get off the court? And I mean, like I said, like, usually I'm the first to defend him, but come on. You can support your son and be happy for him without doing these things. Like,
yeah,
you don't
agree.
Have to get on the court to celebrate with him even. You can even verbally just make eye contact and shout and stuff like that, and that's fine. I mean, even that's extra, but it's fine. And I mean, and also let's just get this one thing straight. Isn't dunking in the layup line, isn't that a technical foul if a player does it?
I think it is.
It
like
is.
I don't know
Literally,
if
yeah.
I don't know if that's still a rule. I know it's not in the NBA.
It wasn't we played.
But when we played it, absolutely. I remember like having just I didn't
the referees will literally come up to you and say no dunking in the layup line.
That's a technical foul, and then you start the game shooting free throws.
Uh-huh.
It literally happened. We were shooting free throws because our team obviously couldn't dunk because went to little Catholic school, but we had that happen. I remember that happening. It's just, I don't know. I give LeBron credit. I mean, he's in a situation, he's in a position where he can go out of his way and, you know, he has the money, he has the resources, he has the facilities, basically, to get his kid to that next level, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's an excellent parent in that way because his kid is succeeding in life. His kid will never have to, you know, have an office job. His kid will be fine. His you know, Bronny Jr. is going to grow up and be a successful basketball player, and we already all know it. Everyone in the media already knows that. The problem is, this is so extra and so, like, frustrating because of exactly what you said. You see anyone else doing this. LaVar Ball did this. He was insane. When Lonzo was growing up and all the other, I think he still does this. Mm-hmm. People gave him so much hate, you know, and everyone was like, wow, what a terrible guy. And now people, you know, LeBron James, but LeBron can do it, but he can't. I mean, what's the difference here? Well, yeah, One's a superstar basketball player.
Yeah, we talk about how much hate LeBron gets, but for some reason, this is the one issue where most people are siding with.
Yeah, there are a lot of people, I mean, a lot of players, a lot of different people who are like, no, he's a parent, he can do what he wants. And I'm with you. He is a parent. He can support his kids. He can go to his games. He can get excited. He can be loud and be obnoxious. In the stands, that's fine. On the sideline, that's fine. You know, just don't. I mean, it's literally anywhere else. This is a technical foul. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else, this is a ref comes up to you and is like, dude, you gotta chill. We're gonna have to call the police.
And that's if a player does.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just a random parent who is out on the court.
No, I mean, like if my dad, which he would never. I mean, great man. Not that kind of excited. If he ran out onto the court and was like, "Let's go,
and chest bump
me yeah. after I made a dunk or whatever," I lay up because let's be real. They would probably
stop the game.
Probably, you know, refs would be all over the place. Sir, you need to get out of here. Sir, you need to cannot do that. It's not safe.
Escorting him from the building.
Think about it. If this is a random dude and you have just a random dude getting super excited and freaking out and running on the court where there's a bunch of young players, that's not safe. Like that's a dangerous situation.
6'8", 250.
Yeah, where suddenly you've got this unknown. I mean, anyone else. Obviously, people know who LeBron James is, one of the most recognizable athletes in sports. But you have any other player or any other person go out there who just people don't know who that is. That's an unsafe situation. And I mean, you have to stop the game. You'd have to. I mean, it's just it feels inexcusable.
And we get it. Like, we're not stupid. We realize that it should be it's going to be different because of it's LeBron James. Like, we get that. And we're not against fun. But at this point, it almost disrupts and takes away from the game. And LeBron's almost making it all about himself.
It feels like that, though. It really does. Mm-hmm. It feels like instead of celebrating, like, I don't know. It feels like instead of being like, wow, my kid just did this, I have to put myself back in the spotlight.
Because I haven't gotten enough.
Because, dude, you're literally LeBron James. Yeah. I just said you're one of the most recognizable athletes in sports. Let your kid have this moment. Like, let your kid go chest bump his the guy who threw the assist. Like, something like that. Why do you have to be part of this? Like, why do you have to step out and be in this moment where it's your kid's time to shine? It's pretty frustrating, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And the number one excuse that people have been using to defend it is really, for the most part, what I've seen is, you know, like, in like today's day and age, black fathers have been, you know, absent from their kids' lives, and you're not going to let him celebrate with his kid and show that he's like a supportive father. And to me, that's kind of an inexcusable, you know, reason to just let him off the hook. I mean, you can, like we've been saying, you can do all those things. Like, we're not saying you shouldn't celebrate, but that's just kind of, it seems like a weak scapegoat to me to use that excuse.
Well, here's a question. Do you know who LeBron James' father is?
No.
Exactly. His father was absent in his life. He was an ex-con. I pulled it up. Spent time in and out of prison. You know, literally different last name. Just kind of didn't seem like he was there. And I think this might be LeBron trying to like
overcompensate
for his own father's failings. He wants to be there for his son. And what I'm saying is, you can be there for your son.
Just tone it back a little.
Exactly. Like you can be like, my father was an amazing like part of my sports career. When I ran track, finishing a race and looking up in the stands and there's my dad smiling, clapping, he's super excited. That was awesome. Like, that's what kids want. They don't want, I can't speak for Bronny Jr., but from my own experience, I would hate it if my dad was making a fool out of himself and freaking out and all this attention was on my dad rather than if I was Bronny Jr. and I went home and pulled out my phone and looked and all these news headlines are all about my dad freaking out at one of my basketball games, I would hate that. That takes away from his accomplishments, his journey to get to this spot. And that's, I mean, it's just disappointing.
Well, and another thing is, you know what I just thought about this? I literally did not even think about this until this exact moment. Didn't Dwayne Wade's son team up with LeBron's son and they play on the same exact team?
I think so. I think they do, and I think they are going to. I think Zaire, right?
Yeah, Zaire.
I think he's older, right? or I don't know. I think Bronny's going to the same high school, and I think this is AAU. I think they're going to play together.
Okay.
I don't think this is it. I don't think they're there yet. I think in the fall.
Doing it and Dwayne Wade's just sitting in the crowd, man, like, that would be huge.
That would be unreal.
Yeah, just a thought though. I mean, I wasn't totally sure.
I mean, and I will see what happens. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's high school. I'm pretty sure Bronny Jr. will be in a freshman, and I think Zaire's a senior or a junior. So I think they're going to team up this year because obviously Bronny's going to play varsity. Like, let's just be real.
Yeah.
Exactly. It'd be kind of unreal if they put him in JV for just like one season. It's like his farm. Unreal.
But yeah, I think they are in different
teams. Yeah, I think right now they're in different.
But I mean, you don't see Dwayne Wade doing this.
You don't see any other athletes doing this. Like, you really don't. Like, I mean, what? Like, he's just, it's frustrating.
It's puzzling. Just the weirdest thing to me is how LeBron gets so much hate and then he does something like this where I actually disagree for once and won't defend LeBron. Everybody else is jumping to, you know, defend him. And it's so weird. It's almost like flip-flopping this time.
It really is. I mean, like, you can be a great father. You can be, you know, he has been a great father. That needs to be very clear.
An amazing father.
No doubt I mean, this kid has everything laid out for him. His father set him up for success, and he's going to go out and get his own success. Absolutely. Like, he's making his own.
Even if he doesn't succeed on the court, he can literally just fall back and be an assistant coach somewhere. Yeah, because his name is LeBron James.
He can, but I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he will.
He can go make his own bread, and he's going to make his own bread at some point. And LeBron James has just set him up perfectly for this situation. Why do you got to add so much, like, negativity to this whole thing? You know, it's just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know either.
Last point, so this is important. It's probably the biggest LeBron headline of all time. What the heck is going on with LeBron James and his obsession with Taco Tuesday?
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up today.
It is probably the cringiest thing on the internet when this man starts talking about tacos.
Taco Tuesday!
It drives me. It's like my skin is like, oh, geez, get me out of here. Like,
and he makes that face, too.
He's like, oh, gosh, what are you doing, man? Like, you.
I don't know. I actually kind of like it just because.
He's like trying to be like funny, but like.
It is. It's like a dad joke.
It literally is.
Which I like. Because, I mean,
I love tacos. I'll throw that out there. Big taco guy.
Huge taco guys. But like, we support him as a dad. But like, it's like, you can do corny stuff like this with your kids.
It's like, you're old, dude. Yeah. Like, you're getting there. Like, it's clear to me now. In a couple years, you're going to be retired. Yeah. It's just going to be like, what day is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Tuesday? Like, oh, and they're, oh, geez, here we go again. It's Tuesday, guys. He's going to be at some, like, movie star thing. Oh, geez. Somebody forgets to bring tacos in on Tuesday.
He's just going to flip out.
It's just, what, you're fired. Like, get out of my face. Like, unreal.
But, yeah, that's the latest on LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James. We really don't talk about LeBron that much. I mean,
compared to some of the other outlets.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's good to kind of roast him a little bit.
I mean, you can only talk so much about his behavior on the court and his stats on the court. It's kind of fun to dissect things that are going on outside of
the
arena.
Speaking of that, what do you think LeBron this season finally has some help? Anthony Davis, is this the year he makes a bounce back? He really hasn't needed to make a bounce back. Do you think he gets it done, or do you think the Lakers are still kind of a mess?
Well, honestly, Taco Tuesday almost ties into this answer because Anthony Davis was featured in one of his Taco Tuesday
videos.
Yeah.
I just stopped watching
a few weeks ago.
Which Tuesday was that? Wait, what day was that on?
It was probably a month ago at this point. But, he was in there. I mean, it seems clear to me that he's trying to form a nice bond with Anthony Davis. I don't know how much of a difference that's going to really make when it comes to their performance.
No, I think it's important.
Yeah, I think it is too. Chemistry is obviously really important, but I think they'll definitely do better.
I'm hearing a lot of stuff like LeBron's just going to be this man on a mission. He's just going to be like just absolutely dialed in and just dominating. And he's going to show all these haters that, you know, he's LeBron James. He can score any, you know, number of points. It's going to be his best year statistically yet. And then I see this Taco Tuesday stuff and I'm like, this guy does not look dialed in at all. No. Like, this guy
is supposed to be like this Terminator.
He is not ready for this upcoming season one bit. He just wants, inside. He's just excited for the next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It's Wednesday morning and he's having withdrawals. This guy. You know, unreal.
Just, some people are just built differently, I'll tell you.
Absolutely. So much more to talk about. Stick around. Have a little sports fan in need of a fun outfit for the big game coming up? Check out www.padikadotibaby.com. That's spelled PADIKADOTEE baby.com. For some handmade and adorable gear from a company that is 100% Michigan made and owned by an awesome mother-daughter duo. Use my code HYBRID for 10% off your order on their website. Again, that's www.padikadotibaby.com. Super cool stuff. Check it out. So today, well, I guess yesterday, whenever you're listening to this, I don't know. So what day is it? Wednesday is
31st.
The 31st. That's our that's the official trade deadline for the Major League Baseball. And 4 o'clock today, I was sitting there. I was pretty nervous. Tigers fan. Actually wearing a Blue Jays shirt right now, not trying to flex, but Bo Bichette going off. Good stuff. Seeing him play.
When you go to the Rogers Center, you gotta pick up some.
Yeah, you know, it's a flex. But I was sitting there, I was so nervous. I just wanted these, you know, Nick Castellanos for the Tigers. I wanted that contract out of there. I wanted, you know, something to happen. I wanted the Tigers just to do something, and then finally the Shane Green news came. The Nick Castellanos news came after 4 o'clock. Like, I got the notification at like 4:05. I was like, geez, like, don't do that to me, guys. So we're going to go over some of these notable trades, some of the teams that got better, some of the teams that really didn't do anything. The Yankees didn't make a move. Red Sox didn't make a move, which was kind of shocking. Those are two teams that tend to, you know, be the big players in, you know, the trade deadline. So the first one, last night, Yasiel Puig, one of those kind of, you know,
polarizing players.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of those notable guys. Trevor Bauer, the guy who threw the ball over the center field wall, just had a tantrum. The Cleveland Indians trade Trevor Bauer for Yasiel Puig. Three-team trade involving the Padres. Middle of the night, and Yasiel Puig is traded to the Indians and gets in a fight with the Pirates, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just unreal fighting here. This was like one, oh man.
It was literally after he was traded, too.
Yeah, like you're not on this team anymore. And he goes out there and fights. Like, that would, I don't know. I have a lot of respect for it. Like, mm-hmm. He could have just sat there and been like, well, you I don't really have your back anymore because we're not really, like, on the same team. But, like, I give him credit. Like, he goes out there and he's like, no, these are my guys. Like,
yeah.
I'm still, like, I'm here. And, you know, I think the Cleveland Indians are kind of happy to have him. Get rid of a Trevor Bauer who, although is a dog and he's a workhorse of a pitcher, you know, that temper tantrum that he threw, I feel like was
literally threw
it. Good one, actually. That's pretty good.
That's so fun.
I think that just ended his time in Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a big correlation there. They're probably worth looking to trade him anyways, but that probably was the cherry.
It was just like, yeah, like,
it was almost like an indication, yeah. Like, okay, like if you had any inkling that you were going to trade him.
I think part of it was, I think he knew it. Like, yeah. I think that was part of his, like, tantrum. Like,
I mean, these guys hear the reports.
They're not dumb.
Yeah.
They see everything. I mean, Nick Castellanos was talking about it. Like, he hates this week. He's like, this is the worst week. And, like, you just never know what's going to happen. You just prepare for anything. And now he's a Cub, which is pretty sweet. It's a good team. Good little fun team. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great fit for him. The Tigers are a mess. They're just rebuild constantly, and they, you know, they don't lose him to free agency, so they get some assets back for him. So I think it's perfect for the Tigers. Shane Green, also from the Tigers, goes to the Braves. Their bullpen gets a lot better. I don't know. There's a couple of different things that are pretty interesting here.
I mean, the Cubs and the Indians both are in second place in their division.
Yeah, so it's a fight. Like,
yeah, they both needed really that, you know, that little piece that's gonna push him over the top, you know, or at least attempt to get in there. Like Justin Verlander back in, I think it was 2017, when the Astros won the World Series, that was just the piece that they needed to get them to the top. So, I mean, this is just what the trade deadline's all about. And, I mean, as a Tigers fan,
I'm happy with today.
Yeah.
I'm walking away and I'm like, all right, like, we didn't get Boyd's contract out of there, but we still can, like, next year, if he has a good, you know, finishes up the season strong and next year starts it pretty well, we can get something. They just wanted way too much for him. They wanted, like, Torres or something from the Yankees, and it was just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and the Tigers were a big pivotal part in this year's MLB trade deadline.
They weren't for so long, and then they just work.
Shane Green and Castellanos.
Yeah, just like right
out.
At the end.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad because it's like that's really their only two just shining stars in that whole roster. But at the same time, it's no secret that the Tigers do need to just tear down and rebuild. Yeah, so I'm totally behind it. And I think also, you know, Cubs and Indians both did themselves a favor as well.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about the big one. The team that got really good really quickly, that's the Houston Astros. They add Zach Greinke, which is just unreal, this pitching staff that they've put together. So they have Verlander, Cole, Greinke. So this is their statistics in the last 2 years. 1,058.1 inning pitch. They're 82 wins and 38 losses. 2.89 ERA. With hitters in position, 0.97. Unreal. Mm-hmm. Over 1,300 strikeouts. Six all-star. I mean, come on. This team is suddenly just... I mean, the pitching's fantastic.
Like, that's what you need. I mean, in the playoffs, pitching is the deciding factor. Yeah. I don't think that that's any secret, you know.
And they have the hitters. They have the team. I think it's the Houston Astros, you know, World Series to lose this year.
Yeah, I mean,
this is exactly what they did when they got Verlander. They needed another pitcher. Mm-hmm. They needed a little bit more talent. And what do they do? Exactly that.
And as a big, I love the Astros too. So to me, I love to see this. I'd rather see the Astros win the World Series than just about any other team, other than the Tigers. But obviously, they're so far out of it. But you know, the Astros are seven and a half games clear of the Athletics in their division. So they basically got the. I mean, not locked.
It's not locked, but it feels like it's locked.
Yeah, especially with this acquisition.
Yeah, with this acquisition. I mean, they're just so they. I don't know. You're sitting here right now if you're an Astros fan and you're like, wow, we are better than we already were. And that's a pretty good feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be feeling pretty good right now if you're a Houston Astros fan. Like, today was great.
Yeah. With the exception of the Dodgers, they have the best record in all of Major League Baseball, best in the American League. So if you're an Astros fan, diehard Astros fan, you got to be really enthusiastic about this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, it was needed. It was, you know, big rival right there. You have to get above them. You have to get past them, and that's exactly what they do. I give them a lot of credit. It was, you know, kind of surprising. Didn't think they would go and get Zach Greinke, but here they are, and, you know, pretty sweet for all of us sports fans who get to watch this rotation now. Unreal.
One guy that I really – it's Puig just has been bouncing around so much, and when he came up with the Dodgers, I figured – he might even be a lifelong Dodger just because they loved him so much in Los Angeles and what he did for him. But this is now his third team, and I think he's barely been in the league for 5 years. So it almost looks like he's on track to be a journeyman the rest of his career.
Which is kind of wild because he's like...
He's such a good talent.
He came into this league as like just something else. Like I remember like watching Electric. Just watching his like starts. Unreal. What's he batting right now?
Yeah, he broke into the league and he was just on fire. And he always brings that enthusiasm and that fire to every at bat, every inning.
He's batting.
And that's a guy you want in your lineup.
252 right now, 22 home runs. So he's still hitting. He's got a lot of power in his bat. He's okay. His career batting average 275. He's an outfielder.
Average.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. It will be really interesting to see what he does like from here on out. Like if this is more of a permanent thing, which would be sweet because I mean we're Tigers fans. We play the Indians a lot. Like this it'd be pretty cool to see him in person live because he's just one of those players who everybody really knows about and he's just always been so polarizing, so talked about. I mean he was a meme for a while there with his the Reds having those like shirt sleeveless jerseys. Just flexing on everybody. This guy, unreal. I think it's cool. I think it changes baseball a little bit, makes it a little bit more interesting. I think it's a great thing for the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously this wasn't a super exciting trade deadline.
No, it really wasn't.
But it wasn't the worst that I've seen by any means. So anytime you can get just a little bit of, you know, interesting moves and dealings and acquisitions like that, I'm happy. So it'll be interesting to see how things shape up heading into the postseason, which is honestly one of my favorite times of the whole sports calendar is the MLB postseason, just because it's a long season. They're grinding. It's 162 games.
And then it's just...
And then bam.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for that.
October baseball. Big fan. No, it's good stuff. Yeah. I don't know. I think the Astros, of all the teams, the Astros improved the most this trade deadline. I was a little disappointed that, like, You know, the Yankees didn't make any moves. The Red Sox didn't make any moves. I thought that was a little weird. And there was talk that, you know, they would improve their pitching and some of these other moves, and just nothing got done. So I think might be a little bit concerning, but credit to the Astros for going out and getting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I can see why the Yankees didn't really make moves, seeing as they've got 8 games. I mean, they're 8 games clear of the Rays in their division. So, I mean, they've essentially got that locked up as well. So I can see that, but I mean, even so, you kind of do want that extra.
Yeah, I mean,
heading into the post,
you look at the Astros. They're doing well in their division, and you know, what do you do?
Extra insurance.
Yeah, you know who the other big players are in the MLB. You know who you're not at this point competing against the guys in your division, the teams in your division. You're competing against the Dodgers. You're competing against the Red Sox. You're competing against these
looking forward to competing.
You're like, you know, like at some point you're gonna have to play these guys. Are you better equipped to fight them or to play them right now? Are you? Like, it's, where can we get better? Where can we improve? And, you know, the Astros, like I said, did that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And baseball, being a general manager is like one big chess game. Like, you can't just be content with where you're at right now. You always have to be 3 steps ahead and looking forward to the, not only the immediate future, like, you know, the postseason, but even just years down the road.
Absolutely.
So for these guys, this is nothing.
That's a huge part of baseball in general. Just like making these moves, thinking, is the time to win right now? Are we approaching a rebuild? Where are we? And then, you know, I think the Tigers, you look at them.
I was just going to say, that's a good example of what
perfect example of what not to do. Don't go sign Miguel Cabrera for a million years and pay him $1 million when you know he's not going to be great for that long. And figure out where your window is. Know when you need to start rebuilding. Know if you need to start rebuilding, I mean, first and foremost, and just move on like that. And, you know, there's a lot of managers out there who do a great job with that, and there are some who, there's a reason they don't win. There's a reason they can't break through and win at that level. And, you know, credit to some of these teams for
the
really
figuring
out.
The Bill Belichick method works in every sport. Get rid of them a year early rather than a year late.
Absolutely.
The Tigers definitely did not do that.
Yeah. That's like what the Nicholas Castellanos trade is. Like, get rid of him a year early. That's perfect. They're learning. I think Tigers are going to be okay. A couple years. Maybe too many years. This is the Hybrid Podcast. So we are approaching the official start of the NFL season. I think we're getting preseason games going here really soon. I don't know when the actual start of our preseason games. I'm not really one to watch a lot of preseason football. I don't think it tells you very much about a team. You know, your team will get spanked by the Browns, and then the Browns won't win a game the entire season. So I'm not one to really watch preseason football. But one of the things that the NFL does every single year, they have all the players vote. It's not a media thing. It's not a coaches thing. It's a player-voted top 100 list of 2019. So last year, who were the best players in the NFL? Which I think is pretty interesting. So number one, Aaron Donald was, you know, defensive tackle for the Rams, just absolutely dominant, just a fantastic. I think it's very deserving. What I think was interesting about this list is our boy, Tom Brady. You're a big Tom Brady guy. Mm-hmm. Just won a Super Bowl, you know, kind of impressive. Had a not a statistically great year last year, but still won a Super Bowl. Proved to a lot of people that, you know, regardless, he can win. And some guys he beat, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, are both listed ahead of him, which I thought was pretty interesting. Drew Brees, one of those fantastic quarterbacks, obviously list number two on this list overall. Last year was ranked eighth. Tom Brady, of course, last year was ranked number one and fell all the way back to sixth. Patrick Mahomes was not ranked last year and is number four. So what are your thoughts?
I'm totally okay with, you know, Drew Brees and Pat Mahomes being ranked ahead of Tom Brady regardless. I mean, obviously I am a big Tom Brady fan, but I get it just because he's combated the whole age thing very well. But at the same time, I mean, he's still going to be 43, I think, this year heading into the season. So, I mean, just being in the top 10 alone, I'm happy with that.
Pretty impressive, yeah.
And especially after that Super Bowl performance. I mean, I haven't been too, you know, soft-spoken about the fact that I didn't think Tom Brady did that well in the Super Bowl. And I think that will actually drive him to be better this year.
Yeah.
But I think the age thing is huge.
I don't think Tom Brady cares. I don't think. I think a lot of these players look at this list and they're like, yeah, all right, whatever. But one thing I did think was pretty interesting, Aaron Rodgers, ranked 10th last year on this list, actually moved up after, you know, an injury-riddled season. He moved to 8th this season. So it shows that the players really expect or respect Aaron Rodgers. However, this, of all the, you know, NFL seasons, the off seasons, this has been one of the, like, most, I mean, the amount of disrespect I've seen towards Aaron Rodgers over these past couple months has been insane. Like, Madden doesn't respect, and, like, they're not giving him a good rating. You know, like, the media's like, yeah, he's kind of, you know, he had that injury, he's kind of washed up, he's not as good. Like, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Like, how Matthew Stafford has been treated for, like, ever is how Aaron Rodgers is getting treated right now. And the fact that he is still in the top 10 on this list shows the difference between the opinions of, like, the media and Madden and all these people compared to the players themselves.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, though, Matthew Stafford and him have about the same stats throughout their career, and Matthew Stafford isn't even close to Aaron Rodgers on this list. So
I don't know if he's on this list.
I
don't think he's on this list. Matthew Stafford is. This is a good topic. Matthew Stafford's one of those guys. I've been really critical of Matthew Stafford. I have. His statistics, I was blown away. I saw that thing on Twitter was like a blind comparison of Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford, and they like were like, who would you pick in this situation? And it was like 90% of the people picked A, and it turned out that was Matthew Stafford and the other was Aaron Rodgers. And the reason I've been so critical on Matthew Stafford is because he has, in my opinion, the worst contract in the NFL. He gets paid a ton of money, and he has how many playoff wins does Matthew Stafford have? That's tough.
Is it zero?
I think it's zero. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So Matthew Stafford is kind of, he's been a letdown in that regard, but you can only do so much. You know, you got to respect the guy. He played with like a broken back last year. He like two injuries.
He clearly has heart.
Yeah, he's, in terms of just leadership ability, like the dude is the dude. Like he's a great guy. And it just shows time and time again, when you pay a guy, when you go out there and you give someone big money, like, Watch the Saints these next couple years. Watch the downfall that the New Orleans Saints have after paying Michael Thomas so much money. Mm-hmm. Like, when you pay someone that much money and you just kind of can't get past it, like, the Lions haven't been able to maintain the contract because they can't get past this Matthew Stafford thing. Watch what happens with New Orleans, because this Michael Thomas deal, as talented as Michael Thomas is, you know, he's 13 on this list. He was 81 last year. As talented as he has been, a lot of it was Drew Brees, but he's still super talented. It'll be really interesting to see what this money does to that organization.
Because we've seen it obviously cripple a lot of organizations, just regardless of what sport you're talking about. Baseball, basketball,
football. Look at Matt Ryan. Here's a perfect example. Matt Ryan in the Super Bowl blows that massive lead. Fantastic quarterback, playing out of his mind. MVP year. And they give him the money, they give him the paycheck, and the team falls apart. Because then you can't pay your offensive line. Then you can't get support around this guy. And that's what happens time and time again, and I think it's exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I really do.
And that's exactly why Tom Brady is the best thing that ever happened in New England.
Absolutely.
Because he literally will restructure his contract in order to take about half of what the other QBs in the league are making, just because he can't, because he's already made his money. Yeah. Plus, he's married to a supermodel wife who's close to probably being a billionaire.
Yeah, she's up there for sure.
She's one of the highest paid in the world, and so he doesn't need the money, and that's just the beauty of it. Because that frees up space for every other position player.
I give a lot of credit for Tom Brady because of that. Like him, I mean, same thing with like the Warriors. Like when the Warriors got really good really quickly, Steph Curry was like, yeah, I'll hold out. I'm not going to get the massive payday right now. And it worked, and they were able to build this super team. And that's just how it works in sports. As soon as you pay the guy, as soon as you find that you pay that insane contract, look at the Green Bay Packers right now. They just paid Aaron Rodgers. They had to get rid of one of their better defensive tackles because of it. And now the Lions are reaping the rewards, but it's fine. So watch what happens when you know, these teams pay their players and just the downfall that comes from it. We're Lions fans. We get it because that's exactly what happened with Matthew Stafford.
And just think about it. Think about how just perfect you have to be with your draft picks after that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have zero room to pay anything more than just, you know, the base rookie salary to any of these other guys because that one player is just sucking up all the salary.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, the Patriots do work as well because their draft picks are good. Mm-hmm. They're signing free agents for less than they're worth. So you have to be just pristine when you sign these big names to these huge contracts, and most organizations just don't have what it takes to pull it off.
I mean, you look at there's so many examples of this. Not even funny. Like, look at Patrick Mahomes. This dude's a beast. Dude's an animal. Dude's not getting paid very much money right now. He's close to that. I think next year he can get a new deal. But right now on that rookie contract, he's not getting much money at all. Like right now is the time to go. If you're the Chiefs, like you're going to have to pay this man. He's insane. He's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, barring some injury. And even then, like, it's very realistic that he will be. And right now is the time to go because you can pay your other players. You can build a really nice core around him and you don't have to pay him that big quarterback money. Teams that don't have to pay that massive quarterback money do well because they can have a good offensive line. They can have these other players and they don't really have to worry about that massive contract that just eats up all their space.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's why I think the Chiefs really have to take advantage
of
this upcoming season. Because like you said, Pat Mahomes, he's getting paid.
He will soon, be paid.
And it's going to be a very
it's
large
be,
amount of
It's going to be unreal. It will not be close to
the record rate.
Absolutely. Like, the hype that this guy has, the way the NFL is going, no, this man's going
to
get...
Yeah, QBs are... You have to have a good QB, and he's the best.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's proving to a lot of people that he has the potential to go down as, like, one of the all-time greats. Mm-hmm. I think it's way too early for that, obviously, but...
Way too early.
But... Dude's going to get a lot of money.
He's on course.
Really quickly. And you need to, if you're the Chiefs, you need to go right now. Like next year, you need to win a championship because things are about to change really quickly.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed was Russell Wilson is at 25. He's on number 25 on the list. To me, that's a little disrespectful. I mean, everyone wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the disrespect he's getting. Russell Wilson is just a total franchise QB.
Okay, but what happened with Russell Wilson?
Got paid.
They paid him.
Exact same
and then
suddenly,
where's your offensive line?
Exactly.
Suddenly, you can't have this Legion of Boom defense because you have to pay your quarterback so much money.
Yep,
like, that's just what happens.
That's where I was going.
That's literally awesome. No, I'm sorry. I stole your
point. Here's my point, exactly.
Yeah.
Is that he got paid that huge contract. You know, he's putting it on his Instagram. You know, like, oh, Seattle, I'm coming back and everything like that. Well, now he's down to 25 and he was 11 last year simply because they probably know he's not going to have the same players surrounding him.
He can't. You lose so much.
He's taken that option out of the Seattle Seahawks' hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it comes down to. The teams that are really successful recently are, well, one, the Patriots, because they have a quarterback who isn't taking up that big quarterback money, which is just unreal because
the
he's
Falcons,
so talented.
Pre-Matt Ryan getting paid.
Yeah. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Great team. Tom Brady, amazing. You look at the Chiefs, they're super good because they've got a quarterback who's not getting that huge, huge contract, but just wait. Like, I mean, seriously, just wait. Once these rookie deals start getting signed, once they flip and suddenly they're making a big money, this whole thing changes.
I think we're forgetting about Jared Goff and the Rams, too. They just made the Super Bowl and he's on a rookie contract as well.
That's just how it works. Like, I mean, I'm not, an expert by any means, but
just looking at trends,
it's
not that hard. General
it's the reason the Lions haven't won. Mm-hmm. It really is. The
and
reason
countless other organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason the Lions haven't broken through is because Matthew Stafford gets paid too much money, and it's
bottom
just what
line.
It is. It's just what it is. And like, you can defend Matthew Stafford's character because you have every right to do that because he is a fantastic leader. He's a great guy. Clearly, he's coming. You know. Everything that's happening at home with his wife is just tragic. This is an amazing human being who really seems to care about his team and the guys around him. but he's making too much money, and it hurts the entire organization because of it.
And you can't hate on him.
No, I mean, go get paid. Yeah, like, exactly. Go get your money. Like, this is just a poor decision by your, you know, your organization.
I mean, you can't hate on the man himself. I mean, at the end of the day, this is still a career. He's here to make money.
That's what he's doing.
So I applaud him for that. I mean, you might as well take advantage and make as much money as you possibly can when you're in your prime. But at the same time, that's on the Lions. I mean, hating on the man himself for that would be like hating on... I was talking to somebody actually on the golf course a few weeks ago about how he hates Tiger Woods because he gets so much TV coverage. I mean, that's like the equivalent of hating... I mean, it's stuff that's out of his control. Like, you can't hate on players for
stuff. Hey, guys, will you like not put me on TV?
Yeah,
because I know I'm like super talented and I'm like... everyone wants to watch me. Just don't. Because like that one guy on the golf course was like, nah, dude, I just don't like him because of it. So.
Exactly. It's just people do tend to just dislike athletes for stupid reasons
like
that.
That's
one thing that does get under my skin. It's just stuff that's completely out of their control.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff that really benefits them, but it's out of their control. That just annoys me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, folks, that is it for this episode of the Hybrid Podcast. Really quickly, if you like our podcast, if you want to support us, there's a link below on whatever listening platform you are using. If you don't already follow us on social media, please do so at Hybrid Podcast. That's all one word, at Hybrid Podcast. Hope everyone has a safe and productive work week. And as always, fire up chips.